Welcome to the celebration of the Holy Spirit, the day called Pentecost, when the early followers of Jesus experienced the power of the Holy Spirit descending upon them. If you are experiencing the Petaluma United Methodist Church online worship for the first time, I'm so glad that you are here. My name is Eric Dale. I'm the pastor here, and I'm one of your worship leaders today. One of the key focuses during this season of Easter, what we could say is the heart of the matter, is love. Jesus taught it, lived it, and gave his life for the love of all creation. And so we might sum it up by saying we are part of the love project. Today we celebrate the Holy Spirit that empowers the love project. The Spirit guides, strengthens, and encourages, giving insight and motivation. It enlarges our capacity to love. In Acts chapter 2, it describes the impact of the Holy Spirit and gives us a snapshot of a loving community. It says, "Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people." Through the Spirit, we are connected one to another and to all of life. And so today, we are walking with the Spirit and, who knows, maybe even dancing with the Spirit.
Please join me in the call to worship. With rushing wind and holy fire, come, Holy Spirit, come. With tongues of flame and hopes rekindled, come, Holy Spirit, come. With visions birthed and dreams restored, come, Holy Spirit, come. With spacious grace and depth untold, come, Holy Spirit, come. With rushing wind and holy fire, come, Holy Spirit, come. Marilyn will be playing number 539, O Spirit of the Living God.
Today's first scripture reading comes from the book of Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 3 through 13. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all them and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of those tongues. All of these are activated by the one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as a Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into, one body, Greeks or Jews, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit.
Our second reading today comes from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. We're reading the first 21 verses of the second chapter. It's all about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Hear the lively word of God. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "People of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God for the people of God. So Jesus has died. The disciples have scattered, hope has been dashed, promises left unfulfilled. Rumors of an empty tomb only serve to underscore their empty hearts. It seems as if the disciples of Jesus are destined to live out their lives in that dry, listless, desert stillness known as the in-between time, the land of just existing. The in-between time is a wearying and tantalizing kind of life, forever swinging as it does between hope and despair. When it goes on for a long time, a person eventually ceases to live, but just really only marks time. We all know something about this kind of reality with the pandemic that we're now experiencing. with sheltering in place, with waiting and wondering when, if ever, will things get back to how they were. We all know the in-between times. Waiting for word about your friend or family member known to have been in the area of an accident or a natural disaster. Are they wounded, alive, dead? The in-between time of waiting for the biopsy report. Out of work now for what? A week, a month, 2 months, a year? Trying to live without despair in that seemingly endless time between unemployment and employment. An unhealed family rift that has gone on for so long. A depression that never takes a vacation. A sickness that has turned out to be a life companion. A hurt so deep that it still festers after all these years. A deceased spouse or child, and you wonder if the tears will ever stop. An adult child who seems to be locked forever in addiction, perpetual adolescence without a center or purpose. A dry spiritual life that God, it seems, hasn't watered in decades. The in-between life goes on and on. And you can probably add to that list. In one way or another, we sometimes feel we're like the disciples. We're behind firmly locked doors. We can't get out. No help and no release can get in. We are emotionally and spiritually stretched out on the rack, as it were, of the in-between time. And it's gone on so long. So what can we do? Well, frankly, I don't know. I mean, there is no concrete, specific answer. Sorry to disappoint you, but what I can do, however, is I can offer a handful of stories and see what they might have for us. A little boy was on a train for a long, long trip between two western cities. It was a hot, dusty day, very uncomfortable for traveling, and that particular ride was perhaps the most uninteresting day's journey in the whole land. But the little guy sat patiently watching the fields go by until a motherly old lady leaned forward to ask in a sympathetic voice, "Aren't you tired of the long ride, dear, and the dust and the heat?" The little boy looked up brightly and smiled, "Yes, ma'am, a little, but I don't mind it much because my father is going to meet me when I get to the end of it." A man slid his pickup truck off of a road and ended up in a ditch. A farmhouse was nearby, and so the motorist asked the owner if he had a tractor that he could borrow to get his truck back on the road. "Nope, but I got my mule Blue," said the farmer. "I doubt a mule is strong enough to pull my truck out." "You don't know Blue," said the mule's proud owner. So Blue was hitched to the truck. "Pull, Blue!" The truck didn't move. And the farmer called out, "Pull, Elmer!" The truck moved a little, and then the farmer called, "Pull, Biscuit!" And the truck moved and was free. "Well, thanks so much," said the truck owner. "But, you know, I've got a question. You called your mule by three different names. How's that? What gives?" "Simple," said the farmer. "Blue is blind. And if he thought he was the only one pulling, your truck would still be in the ditch." Finally, during the Great Depression, a government agency had the task of traveling through the backwoods mountain areas in search of poor farmers, to whom they gave some grant money for the purchase of seed and repairing their homes. One agent came upon an old woman living in a shack. It had no floor. Several windows were broken and covered over with tar paper. The old woman had but just the basic bare essentials and was just barely scratching out a living on a miserable plot of land. The agent said to her, "If the government gave you $200, what would you do with it? And without skipping a beat, she replied, "I'd give it to the poor." Well, back to the gospel. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were stuck in their in-between time of fear and despair, Jesus came with peace on his lips and a spirit to bestow. This gospel, I hope you realize, is simply a variation of the stories I just told. Stories that all had a dangling afterthought that made us think. The first story of the little boy traveling a long, long time through the dusty, uninspiring land, buoyed up by the thought of his father at the end, it tells us of Jesus' promise that he will not leave us orphans. The second story of the mule that pulled more than his weight when he thought he wasn't alone, it makes us think of Jesus who said that he would give us another abiding spirit to be with us always. And so why do we think we're pulling alone? The third story of the chronically poor woman who instinctively moved beyond poor me to think of people worse off than herself tells us that the way out of a funk is always an act of spirit-inspired charity. And the fourth story, the gospel story itself, of Jesus passing through walls, well, it tells us that no barrier is able to keep Jesus and his peace from our in-between times, our in-between lives. All the stories seem to have the same message about Pentecost. In the end is a Father, Mother, Creator who will make all things new again. We do not pull all alone. Out of failure, there arises the prize of God's love. We inevitably make progress when we reach out to others. And lastly, through any sealed, closed door of mind and body, Jesus is able to come. Pentecost is about gift, about promise, presence, and surprise. It is a comfort for the in-between times. Marilyn will now play our next hymn, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God," number 420, if you have a hymnal. The words should be in the podcast. Please join me in this responsive prayer, and your response is, "We thank you, O God." For unshakable hearts set on compassion, we thank you, O God. For courage to take risks and reach out, we thank you, O God. For eyes to see Christ in others, we thank you, O God. For healing wherever it is needed on the planet, we thank you, O God. For protection and merciful justice for the least among us, we thank you, O God. For pouring out the power of your Holy Spirit, we thank you, O God. Amen.
we worship a God who is with us to the end. When God opens her hand, we are filled with good things. When God closes his hand, our bodies return to the dust, and our breath returns to Spirit, who gave it. Let us share the bounty of our lives with God on this day of Pentecost. For opening your hand and blessing us with your manifold blessings, we give you thanks, O God. On this day of Pentecost, may our gifts bring dreams and visions to the world in need of hope and direction. And may our hearts overflow with rivers of living water. Amen.
Join me in our responsive benediction. With rushing wind and holy fire, go forth in the power of the living God.
We go forth as God's children.
With tongues of flame and hope rekindled, go forth in the power of the eternal Christ.
We go forth as heirs with Christ.
With visions birthed and dreams restored, go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit.
We go forth as new creations in God's Spirit.
With spacious grace and depth untold, go forth in the mystery of the Holy One.